Hello, how you doing? My name is Kewan Foster. I'm the church planting pastor of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministries community of faith, we welcome you and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We pray and hope that you are blessed by the word of God that is about to get ready to come forward and that you are challenged in your relationship and your walk with the Lord. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, it is our prayer that this message will encourage you to embark on that journey where you will consider embracing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We ask that you consider partnering with us as we partner with God to help spread the message of the gospel around the globe. And you can do this by clicking like and subscribing to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our videos and sharing those videos with others so that they too can be blessed in their walk with the Lord. And so at this moment and at this time, we're going to go ahead and get into our lesson for today. Last week, we began a sermon series. We're doing a short sermon series for the month of December entitled, I Am. We're looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus Christ found throughout the Gospel of John. More specifically, we're looking at, three or four of them is what we will end up doing with the I Am statements. And so last week, we just basically laid a foundation as we talked about the theological significance of the phrase I Am and what that means. And more specifically, that when Jesus used the I Am statements, what Jesus was saying indirectly, the religious leaders understood unequivocally what Jesus was doing. He was making himself or putting himself on the same level with God. And of course, for them, no man would do such a thing. It was considered to be blasphemy. And of course, they looked at and considered Jesus to be a mere mortal man. But we know, according to the biblical narrative, that Jesus was not just merely a mortal man, for no man can say to the elements, to the wind and to the water, peace be still, and a great calm comes over the river or the ocean. No mere mortal man can come walking on the water as if he's walking on a solid ground, a solid foundation. No mere mortal man can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed above 5,000 people. Y'all better walk with me right now. You all, no mere mortal man can drop his hands and shout and say, Lazarus, come forth. And a man who's been dead for several days, get up out of the grave and come back to life. He was not a mortal man. He is God, and he is the Son of God. Amen, amen, and amen. And so we're going to continue our study on the I Am statements as we focus our attention on John chapter 14, verses 1-7. And here's what the biblical narrative says, you all. John chapter 14, verses 1-7. The Bible reads as such, and this is Jesus speaking to his apostles, to his disciples. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way. Oh, my Lord and my God. I got to repeat that again. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Amen, amen, and amen. In the following passage of scripture from a contextual perspective, we know that this is the time in Jesus's ministry where he is at the end of the road. And when I say by the end of the road, meaning that the time is quickly approaching where Jesus is about to get ready to be apprehended. He's about to get ready to be beaten. He's about to get ready to go to the cross so that he can lay down his life for the sins or lay down his life for all of humanity and for the sins of the world. But before that happens, Jesus is in this intimate setting with his disciples, more specifically the apostles, the 12 men who he handpicked and who he chose to be the ones who would carry out and be the leaders in the early church when he ascended back to heaven to go back to be with God, to be with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And during this time, we see Jesus and the disciples, apostles participating in the Last Supper. And then Jesus begins to have a discussion with them. And in the middle of this discussion, Jesus is communicating to them. He's trying to prepare them and get them ready for the fact that he's about to get ready to physically leave them. They really don't quite understand or comprehend what Jesus is saying in its totality, but Jesus is trying to prepare them and get them ready to know I'm about to get ready to leave. And when I'm gone, I'm going to physically be gone. And then, of course, if you begin to read throughout chapter 14, Jesus begins, of course, to talk about over in there the Holy Spirit and what the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be. But in the midst of where we at right now, as Jesus is talking to them about the Father's house and many mansions and that he's about to get ready to leave, Jesus says to them, he says, and where I am going, you know, and the way you know. Jesus was trying to get them to understand, listen, I done been with you all for 3.5 years. You all understand and you know where I'm going and you all know the way. But Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. That's what I like about Thomas. Thomas kept it real and he kept it 100. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And this is what prompted Jesus to utter what I believe of the 7 I am statements is perhaps the most controversial today that many people take a problem with is when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me ask this question, you all, before I go ahead and we continue to move on with our lesson for today. Tell me, I want you to type in the comment box, why do you think Jesus's statement of I am the way, the truth, and the life, no person comes unto the Father except by me. Why do you think that this is considered to be a controversial statement that a lot of people have a problem with? Well, go ahead and type in the comment box. And you might have a problem with this statement. And if that's the case, I just want you to be upfront and honest. But tell me, why do you think many people have a problem with what Jesus said in this particular passage of scripture? I'm gonna go ahead and give you about 7 seconds to type in the comment box, because I would love to hear from you all to tell me, why do you think, in your own personal opinion, if you're familiar with this particular I am statement, if this is the first time you've ever heard the I am statement that we are talking about, give me your reason as to why you think this statement is considered or can be considered to be controversial. Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you why I believe it's considered to be controversial and why a lot of people have a problem with it. And I'm basing this off of a number of different things. I'm basing this off of my life experience as a servant of God, as one who is in ministry. And I've had the opportunity to have dialogue and theological conversations with a number of different people across the spectrum, to talk to people who are Christians, those who are atheists, agnostic, those who are from different religious faith and different religious traditions. I can tell you that the reason that many people have a problem with what Jesus says when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me. One of the reasons that a lot of people have a problem with this statement, you all, is because Jesus's statement is exclusive in its nature. Repeat that again. Jesus's statement is exclusive, not inclusive, but it is exclusive in its nature. And I'm going to explain to you what I mean. See, most of us, and especially for those of us who are Americans and who live in the United States of America, we live in a culture where the very fabric of this of America is built on the idea and the notion of the protection of freedom and liberty. America is known as being a country that is free. You have freedom. You can do certain things that you can do certain things in America that you just can't not do in other countries. We are known as being the home of the free and the proud and the brave. And that impacts our culture, and it trickles down throughout our society over here in America. What do you mean, Kiwan? Here's what I mean. Because we love freedom and the idea of freedom, many people like the idea that they have a choice when it comes to certain things. I want y'all to think about this. Come with me for a moment right now. A lot of times, people don't like when they are pigeonholed and they are told that their options are limited. In fact, for some people, it creates a sense of anxiety, agitation, stress, or frustration if their choices are limited or if they are told they only have one choice. Because again, the society that we live in, when you look at consumerism, you have a multiplicity of choices and options when it comes to certain things. For example, when you go to Kroger or Publix or wherever you go and shop for your groceries, to Walmart, let's just take the category, you all, of bread. If you go into the store, over in the section where the bread is, you will notice that you have a number of different options that you can choose from when it comes to bread. You can choose whole wheat bread. You can choose whole grain bread. You can choose gluten-free bread. You can choose egg bread, potato bread, French bread, and the list goes on and on. And bread is just one of the categories that you have a number of different options. Think about automobiles and vehicles. If you want to go and purchase a car, you are not limited to just going to one specific place. You have a number of different dealerships that you can go to. You can go to a Toyota dealership. You can go to a Chrysler dealership. You can go to a Mercedes dealership. I mean, you can go to a Chevrolet dealership. And when you get to the dealership, you have options in terms of the style and the type of vehicle that you want. If you want a sedan, you can get a car. If you want something a little bit bigger for your family because you're a family of five or seven like the Foster household is, you can get a minivan. If you don't want a minivan because you may want something that's a little bit more stylish, you can get an SUV. If you don't want an SUV, you can go ahead and get a truck. I mean, there's a number of different things and options that you can choose from. You can go to the Cadillac dealership and you can get Cadillac on 22s. Cadillac on 22s. Ain't did nothing in my life but stay true. Cat, 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 cat. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. Sometimes I will admit I will veer off, but I got to get back in the middle of the road. But y'all get the point. You have options. But watch this, you all. Please stay with me because there's a point that I'm making. If you take this mentality of I have options, I can choose, I'm not limited, I'm not restricted. If you take that type of thinking and come to the Bible and try to understand the biblical concept of salvation, then you're going to have a difficult time being able to embrace what the Bible teaches about salvation. Because the Bible does not teach that there's more than one way to God. Hello, somebody. Somebody needs to hear this. And if somebody who's a Christian has told you that there's more than one way to God, I'm going to tell you like this, and I can't make it any nicer. They done lied to you. If a follower of Christ, who is a professed believer, teacher of the gospel, preacher of the gospel, ever tells you that there's more than one way to get to God in terms of have a relationship, in terms of salvation, in terms of eternal life, they have lied to you. They have deceived you because the Bible does not teach this. Jesus said in this passage, I am the way. Now, it's important that you understand what Jesus says and how what he says, how it's structured in the text. Jesus did not say, I am a way. Had he said, I am a way, then that will imply, and we could deduce from Jesus's statement, that there's more than one way to get to God. But he doesn't say, I am a way. He uses a definite article. A definite article is being used, and it says, I am the way, implying that I am the only pathway exclusively on how you are going to get to my Father. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, there's a passage of scripture that corroborates what Jesus says in his I am statement of I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you read this, and I'm going to read it right now, Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. This is a very powerful story. If you go back and read it, this is a story where Peter and John, the apostles, Peter and John, they're on their way up into the temple to pray. There's a man who's a beggar, who is crippled. And as they're going up to the temple to pray, the man is out there asking for money. He's begging. And Peter gets to him and Peter says, silver and gold, we do not have. I do not have. But such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice the name, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Bible says Peter took the man by his hand and the man received strength in his ankle bones and jumped up and was leaping and praising God. Now, you know, whenever God does something for you, everybody is not going to be happy. Now, somebody need to hear that because that's a side sermon. Please understand, the very people that you think are for you a lot of times are not really for you. They're for you as long as you remain in the same decadent, desperate, hopeless situation that they are in. But as soon as you are able to get out, as soon as God is able to snatch you out and put your feet and establish your goings, those same people will become upset at you. Those same people will begin to talk about you, and you will be trying to figure out and scratching your head saying, well, Lord, why is this the case? Well, it's the case because they were never really truly for you. They were never truly your friends. The Bible says that the religious leaders had a problem with what had just took place in this miracle. And Peter used this as an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And in preaching the gospel, listen to what Peter said about Jesus in reference to salvation. Listen to this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, Peter said, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. He's talking to the religious leaders saying, listen, when he came unto you all trying to let you know who he was, you all rejected him. The very religious leaders. Remember we said last week, it wasn't the sinners that sent Jesus to the cross. It was the religious people who knew book, chapter, and verse, who were the ones who were gung-ho about trying to get charges on Jesus. And they couldn't even do that at the very end. They had to lie to send them to the cross. But anyway, Peter goes on and says, and there is salvation in no one else. Please listen. He just referenced Jesus. So in this verse, we knows when he says no one else, he's referring back to Jesus. He says there is salvation, which means deliverance, in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Bible makes it clear that the only way that a person can be presented faultless in front of a righteous and holy God, the only way that a person, as David said, who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who can stand in his holy hill, he that have clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Who is this person? Only a person who has accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. There is no other way around this. I know some people have a problem with it. I know some people may not like it, but I'm going to say something else to you all. And I promise you, I'm not being arrogant. I promise you, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to help somebody. God could care less about what you think regarding the plans of salvation and other things in scripture that he has mapped out. Hello, somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because whether you don't like it or you dislike it, it's not going to make God undo what he already did. Now that right there will preach. See, the problem that many of us have is that when it comes to God, when it comes to, Christianity, when it comes to the Bible, we want to pick and choose what we want to believe in. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody like that who tells you they're a believer, they're a Christian, but I have problems with certain portions of the Bible. I don't accept that, but I believe this. That's a dangerous place to be in, you all, because you basically have what I like to call a buffet theology. You pick and choose what you like, but that ain't how it work. Jesus, that is not how it work, you all. You got to be all in. Jesus said, if a man puts his hand on a plow and look back, he ain't even fit for the kingdom of God. You might as well not start at all. Because if you're not going to be all in, then don't do it. I'm going to tell you, just like one of my favorite movies, you all, The Five Heartbeats. Nights like this, I wish raindrops would fall. If you've never seen it, that is a good movie to watch. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is that two of the main characters, JT and Dub, they are having a disagreement. They're brothers. They're having a disagreement. They're at each other to the point that while they're on the stage and they're performing, they begin to fight. And so it's clear when the next show comes on, what they did was they were able to address their issues, but the audience didn't know it. And so another fight broke out. And so all of a sudden, they just stopped. And one of the lead singers said, listen, if we're not going to do it right, then let's not do it at all. And the crowd is like, oh, man, wow, because they thinking the show is going to be over. Then all of a sudden, the beat drops and then you hear, nights like this, I wish. And it just goes on. Now, some of y'all may be laughing at me, but I'm telling you, that scene stands out to me because he's so right. They say, listen, if we're not going to do it right, then not do it at all. If you're not going to follow everything in scripture that is applicable to us, then you might as well not follow anything at all. Again, we have to look at what the Bible teaches, and the Bible teaches that there is no other way to get to God except you go through Jesus. The Bible acknowledges this. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist acknowledges this when he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He made this statement when he was looking at Jesus. See, one of the reasons that many people have a problem understanding the biblical concept of salvation and understanding Jesus as being the only way is because they don't have a proper biblical understanding of sin in terms of how God views sin, and how God has decided to deal with sin. When you understand theologically what the Bible says about sin, how God views sin, God hates sin so much that the scripture teaches us, and we see how much God hates sin. Look at this, you all. Please understand this. God hates sin so much, that he was willing to sacrifice his only son to create an opportunity for your sins to be forgiven and for you to have an opportunity to be delivered and saved from your sins, to have your sins forgiven, and to have an opportunity to enter into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ and spend eternity in heaven with him and the rest of everybody else who accepts Jesus as he is who he is. Sin, a three-letter word that has loaded theological implications, you all. I just want us to read a couple passages of scripture of what the Bible has to say about sin, because remember, when you understand how God views sin and what the Bible says about sin, it will help you better understand the plan of salvation, and it will better help you understand why Jesus is the only way, why he is the truth, and why he is the life. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one person, talking about Adam, and death through sin, And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Paul is saying in his epistle to the Romans, he's laying out the theological foundation that sin entered into this world through Adam and Eve, through Adam. And that when it entered into this world, it was something that spread to all persons, that the whole entire human race was represented in Adam. So we've all been infected and we all been impacted by sin. Romans 3 and 23, another very popular passage of scripture that speaks about upon sin, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person on this earth who does not have a sinful nature, because we just read in Romans 5 and 12 that sin has passed upon all persons. So what is the outcome of sin? What's the price of sin? Because everything has a price, you all. If you go into the store right now and you go to buy a mop or a broom, or you go to make any purchase, you can't just walk up in the store and take that. Well, you can walk up in the store and take it. One of them security guards at Kroger are going to probably tackle you, or a police officer going to tackle you, or you're going to be arrested. But if you want it, you have to pay money. There's a price. Listen to Romans 3 and 6 and 23. It tells us what the price of sin is. It says, for the wages of sin is death, spiritual death and physical death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 8 and 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. I believe that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. And if I'm not quoting the scripture correctly, you all, in terms of the verse, I'll make sure that we have it. Of course, it's going to appear on the screen. First John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Let me pause. So John is saying, listen, everybody is a sinner and have sinned. Now, you may sit here and say, well, I ain't never sinned, because I don't embrace the concept of what sin is. That's okay. But just because you don't embrace something don't mean that it's not what it is. You are a sinner. Oh, yes, you are. John goes on and says, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Right there, John said, you a liar and a deceiver if you say you're not a sinner. Why? Because all have sinned. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says this. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Now, when you read that passage of scripture, you all, you see from that passage of scripture and these other scriptures that we just referenced, sin is more than just an action. Sin is more than a person just breaking into somebody's house to steal something or going into a store to steal something. Sin is more than you being envious and jealous of somebody else. Sin is more than you having wicked and lustful thoughts going in your mind. Sin is an actual state or nature that we possess, you all. It's something that is in us that we cannot escape from. It's just like when you look at certain animals, it's in the nature of a dog that when they see something or another dog or somebody they don't know, they're going to bark. If you tell a dog, be quiet, stop barking, when they see another dog or somebody they've never met, you're asking a dog to act outside of its nature. It's in its nature, a snake. Okay, it's in a snake's nature that if that snake feels threatened, that snake is going to snap at you and bite you. It is in the snake's nature. An alligator, when you look at an alligator and when they go and they attack their prey, It is in their nature that when they latch on, they begin to roll. It's referred to as the death roll. Nobody had to teach an alligator how to do the death roll. The alligator knows how to do it because it is in its nature. This is why you never have to teach your children how to lie, how to cheat, how to steal, and how to make foolish decisions, because it is in their nature, and sooner or later it's going to come out. What we have to do as parents is help steer and guide them in the right direction. We have to teach them what is right according to the word of God. Y'all better walk with me right now. So when we talk about what sin has done and how it has infected the human race, the only way for us to escape the damnation, the condemnation, the judgment that rests on us because of our sin is through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 3. Verse 16 through 18. Listen to what the Bible says. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Notice what he says. There are no other options, you all. Jesus didn't say, "So God so loved the world that he gave his son, he gave an angel, and he gave a human." No, he named one person. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him, not Buddha, in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved, that is delivered through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Do you notice in this passage of scripture the exclusive nature of what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying the only way that you're going to be accepted, the only way that you're going to get in, is you got to believe in me as the Son of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you're searching for truth, I'm here to tell you right now, you all, look no further. I'm going to tell y'all something. In a world that's full of lies, errors, and wickedness, it feels good to know that I can stake my life in truth. And I know that truth is not going to change. And I know that that truth is the truth and the only truth. Y'all ain't walking with me right now. I'm talking about Jesus, you all. Listen what John chapter 18, verse 37 through 38 says, you all. And I've told you all this before, for those of you all who have watched any of our prior messages, or for those of you all, this is your first time. At Out of Love Ministries, we don't believe in giving our personal opinion for theology or life rule. We believe in following what the scripture says. Okay? We want to know what the Bible says. Take me to book, chapter, and verse. This is why when y'all hear me, I give you book, chapter, and verse, so that if you question in anything that I'm saying, you can go to the scriptures for yourself and read them and comprehend them. Look at John chapter 18, verse 37 through 38. The Bible says, "Then Pilate said to him," this is when Jesus is getting ready to be scourged, or he's already been scourged, but nonetheless, he's having counsel with Pilate. Pilate is the one who's in a position of political leadership, who has the authority, and he wants Jesus to know he has the authority to stay Jesus's execution, or let him free, or have him go get executed. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Pilate didn't even know why he's trying to ask what truth is. Truth is sitting there looking right at him in the face, you all, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "I came into this world to bear witness to the truth." His life bore witness to the truth. Look at this, you all. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John goes on to say in John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Oh, y'all, all I'm doing is just reading scripture where you can see that the Bible says that Jesus is truth. Listen, John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the truth? Jesus is saying, I am the truth. I am the truth. There is no other source of truth to your spiritual well-being, to your spiritual growth and development, than you knowing about the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, y'all better walk with me right now. Jesus said, I am the way, and we've dealt with that. Jesus said, I am the truth, and he is truth. Even those who tried to lie on him as truth could not find any fault in him. I'm telling you, when you live your life right for God and you walk in the righteousness and the holiness of the Lord, people will try to make false accusations, but I'm gonna tell you like this, none of them will stick at all, you all. It'll be like, have you ever experienced Velcro? When it's good, oh man, it sticks. But when it wears out over time, you can throw something on it and it ain't gonna stick at all, you all. When your life is in Christ and you live according to the way, the truth, and the life, it can't stick against you. I want you, we're gonna read a couple of scriptures, you all, and then we're gonna be done. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, you all, and then we're going to be done in reference to when Jesus says in the last part of his statement of I am statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What do you mean I am the life, Jesus? Let's look at some other passages of scriptures where Jesus made the statement pertaining to I am the life. John chapter 10 and 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is able to give life because life is in him and flows through him. Remember going back to 1 John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was there with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the beginning, whenever the beginning began, I don't know, but I know but God. And I know Jesus was there with the triune God as all things were brought into existence. Look at John chapter 6, verse 35, you all. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Here's another one of his statements, I am statements. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, or whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Life, life. True life is found in Jesus. He is the source of all life. He is the source of our spiritual life. He wants you to come to him so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm gonna tell y'all this, and we're almost done, you all. It is through his blood. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit, that we are able to have life. I want to read some passages of scriptures in closing to you on what the Bible says about the efficacy of Jesus's blood and the life that is in his blood. And this is why we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus said, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Only his blood can bring forth forgiveness of sin. For the Bible declares and decree in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission or forgiveness of sin. First John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, it's the blood of Jesus that brings the cleansing and the forgiveness of sin. This is why he's the way, the truth, and the life, because there's no other way for your sins to be forgiven except by the plan of salvation that God has set, which is through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Notice again, you all, in him, preposition, in him, preposition, given direction, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through, preposition, through, given direction, through what? His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He didn't say you've been brought near by anything else, but what? By the blood of Christ. Remember, going back to that exclusivity in its nature. And last passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life because the Father ordained it and set it up that way. No person can come to God except through him. If you don't know him, he wants you to get to know him. If you have a problem with what Jesus says, my prayer is that you will humble yourself and allow his word to penetrate your heart, so that you too can know him as the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to you joining us next week as we look at our next I Am statement. May God bless you, and let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for allowing us to have this experience today as we look into your word, looking at one of the I Am statements, specifically the one where your son Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord God, it is my prayer that those who do not know your son Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life will have an opportunity to be able to experience him as such. Lord, it is my prayer that those who have experienced him as the way, the truth, and the life, but who have fallen off the path will come back so that you, oh God, can restore them and continue to use them for kingdom impact. We ask all these blessings in the name of your son Jesus. Amen.